Well, welcome to week four of Beauty by the Book for Teens. This week, you studied Biblical Beauty Don't number 3, The Irritating Woman. And if you're honest, like I'm going to be with you, I find that I have way too much in common with this woman, the irritating woman. The irritating woman, she only knows how to speak one language. I call it 3C. She speaks words that are critical and complaining, and she's just kind of downright contentious. But you learned this week in your homework that the Bible has a cure for 3C. It's 3B speech. Learning how to become a biblically beautiful woman will mean you will be able to speak fluent 3B. Words that build, bless, and benefit others. And that's just what we're going to talk about in this week's lesson of Beauty by the Book for Teens. Several years ago, a movie came out, and I bet all of you have seen that movie. It was called Mean Girls. How many of you have seen Mean Girls, okay, with Lindsay Lohan? And you saw a movie about a bunch of girls who sort of had a little mean girl thing going on, and Lindsay Lohan was the girl, the new girl on the block, and she came in, and she thought these really popular girls were going to be really, really nice to her because they invited her to become one of them. And then what happened? She found out that these girls weren't very nice, didn't she? She found out that they were a group of what? Mean girls. And she was a good girl. And what happened to her when she hung out with those mean girls? What happened to her? Girl, she became just like they were, didn't she? She became a mean girl herself. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. The mean girl in the Bible we're talking about is a girl that I believe, I like to call her, she's the irritating woman. And you studied her this week in your homework from the Proverbs. The Proverbs has several things to say about her, and it describes her in great detail. And honey, she is a biblical beauty don't, isn't she? If you want to be a biblically beautiful young woman, a true beauty, then you don't want to be a mean girl, an irritating woman. So let's look in the Proverbs, and I'm just going to read these scriptures. You've already looked these things up, but there are several verses in the Proverbs about this irritating woman. And in Proverbs chapter 19, it says that a quarrelsome woman is as annoying as a constant dripping, okay? This is a woman that, has anything ever kept you up at night? Maybe a faucet dripping or something like that, and you just think it gets louder and louder and louder. You think, I'm not going to get up. I don't want to get out of bed. But then eventually, what do you have to do? You just can't stand it anymore, can you? And that's kind of what an irritating woman's like. In Proverbs 21:9, it says, it's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife or a quarrelsome woman, because that word for wife can mean woman as well, young woman, old woman, in a lovely home. And then it says it's better to live alone in the desert with a quarrelsome than with a quarrelsome complaining woman. It is better, it says, to live alone than, and it says that she's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome woman. And so you see this over and over and over again. It's like God is just repeating himself one time after another. And girls, when you see God repeat himself like that over and over and over, just keep restating the same thing, here's what you can know. He's trying to make a big point. He doesn't want you to miss this, because girls, an irritating woman is the kind of woman who's going to end up in a place she really doesn't want to be. And pretty much the place that she's going to end up is alone, okay? Alone. Because you see the first few verses of those, the first few words in those verses say this, it's better to be alone than to be around a mean girl like this, okay? Eventually people get tired of her and they say, done. Don't want to be her friend anymore. Her boyfriend says, enough. I've had it. I'm out of here. Eventually, sometimes even that girl's husband will say, I am so done. I am out of here. Can't take your nagging. Can't take your irritating behavior. Can't take this anymore. An irritating woman, girls, she wants something. And she thinks that if she's going to get it, that she has to behave in an irritating way to get it. And that's just not true. And that's what we're going to look at today. Because listen, here's my question for you today. How does that irritating woman work for you, okay? Because we all have an irritating woman in here, let me tell you, and I'm one of them. We all like to go there. That's sort of our default as women. That's kind of where we like to go. Well, let's define who this woman is. Let me tell you what she looks like on the outside. Outwardly, this is what an irritating woman, this is what other people see. They see that she is, and this is kind of a big word, contentious, okay? The Bible uses that word. It says that she's contentious. And basically what that means, and it's right there on your listening guide, it means that she is quarrelsome. quarrelsome, okay? She is ready to take you on, okay? She has got a bone to pick with you, and she ain't afraid to just go for it. She is contentious. She is quarrelsome. She is hard to get along with. Have you ever had a girlfriend like that? You try to get along with her. You hang out with her. You think you've pleased her, and then the next minute you find out that she's talking about you, that, you know, you did something. You can never please this person. That is an irritating woman. She's always got a bone to pick with people. She is a quarrelsome, hard to get along with kind of a person. Outwardly also, the second thing is she's mean. As we said, she's mean. She will get angry. She will take you down. She is mean and she is manipulating, all right? She will go behind your back. She will make things work whether she has to tell you the truth or lie to you. She doesn't care. She's manipulating. She wants what she wants, and she won't stop at anything to get what she wants. She's mean. She's manipulating. And then she's a pouter, okay? She pouts. If she can't get it through meanness and manipulation, then she'll pout, and she'll plead. And then she'll just break down and begin nagging, okay? She's a pouter. People say, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing. She's just kind of, you know, pouty, and she wants them to dig and plead with her, and she wants to be pitiful, and she wants to be a victim. This girl will do whatever. She will, whatever works for her. She's not too good to try just about anything. She will pout and plead. She's also demanding, and she's bossy, okay? She's demanding, and she's bossy. Let me tell you about this woman. She will run your life if you let her. She will. And girls, honestly, we can all be this woman. Back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and when Eve took that forbidden fruit and that God had said, don't eat that. That's the only rule around here, is that you can have anything else you want, but you can't have that. And that woman saw that fruit and Satan told her, oh, God doesn't care. Just go right ahead. And she took that and she ate it, and then she gave it to her husband. And the fallout of that sin was this. God said to her, he said, you know what? Here's the result of that. First of all, he said, you're going to have pain in childbirth. And I can attest to the fact that that is true, okay? But he also said this. Here's what's going to happen to you because you've sinned. Your desire, he says, shall be for your husband, but he will rule over you. Okay, so what does that mean, your desire shall be for your husband? That means this. When you study that word in the Hebrew, it means that you're going to want to control your marriage. You're going to want to control your husband. You're going to want to be the one who's in charge. But he said, but he will rule over you. Before the fall, before sin, listen, Adam was the leader, okay? Eve was his helpmate, and there was no problem. But after the fall, after sin, she had a big problem. She didn't like that so much anymore. And girls, that's in every single one of us as women, okay? We want to tell people what to do. We want things to work our way. We, especially when we get married, don't like the fact a lot of times that he doesn't agree with us about what we should do and how we should do it. And we want to do whatever we can do to get our way. It is a desire to control and to rule others. And that's where that irritating woman can begin to manifest herself. Inward issues, that's what it is. Number two, a desire to rule and to control others. Okay? And that's what comes from that fall in Genesis chapter 3 gives us a desire to want to rule and be the one who makes the decisions and be the one who gets her way. Okay, I want my way, and whatever I got to do to get it, I'll do it. Okay, if I have to wear people down, if I have to nag at them, pout, plead, whatever, I'm going to get my way. Okay, and eventually people are going to go, I'm done. Can't take it anymore. Girls, you don't want to be a woman who at some point in her life ends up alone, okay? This is the Proverbs describes her as quarrelsome, number three, and contentious. And here's the truth. Both of those words come from a Hebrew word, okay? Those words, when you look at those and you study them out, there's a word in the Hebrew that quarrelsome and contentiousness comes from, and it's the word A-D-O-N, add-on, okay? Add-on, okay? That's part of the root word of the word contentious. And that word add-on, when you add a little I to the end of it, A-D-O-N-I, what is that? That's Adonai. That's God. And what I really do believe is this woman, this irritating woman, is she really wants to be Adonai. She wants to be God, okay? She's contentious. She's trying to be God in everybody else's life. and in control. So it's a dangerous, dangerous kind of a decision to make when you become this irritating woman. Well, how does that irritating woman work for you? You looked this past week at your homework at some women in the Old Testament who got into this irritating woman mode, and they began to take things into their own hands, and you begin to see, how does it work, okay? When you enter into this and you begin to behave like this, how does it work for you? How does it work? Well, first of all, you looked at a woman named Miriam, and Miriam was Moses' older sister. And Moses was her little brother. In fact, he was the youngest of three children. Aaron was older than him, and then Miriam, I believe, was the oldest in the family. And Miriam was probably the one that helped her mother put the baby Moses in that basket and send him down the river where he was basically rescued by the princess there of that time in Egypt, okay? Miriam had invested a lot of her love in Moses' life. But what turned out was this. Moses became the leader, okay? He was in authority over his brother and his sister, okay? That might be kind of hard, you think? You think if your little baby brother became kind of your boss, you might have a problem with that some days. Well, Moses made a decision one day as the leader of Israel, and he made a decision to marry a woman, and it made Miriam mad. She didn't like who her little brother chose, and she and her brother Aaron began talking. They began, both of them, going into irritating behavior, and she became an irritating woman that day, and they began talking about their little brother, and they said, who does he think he is? I can't believe that woman he chose to marry. That's not the right choice for him. You know what? How in the world why did God make him the ruler over you and me? We're smart as he is. God speaks to us as much as God speaks to him. Why can't we be the spokespeople? Why can't we be the leader? You know what? That's major irritating woman behavior. And guess who listens to those kind of mean conversations? God does. He was listening that day, and then he spoke, and he said, I want you, and I want Aaron, and I want Moses to meet me over here, and we're going to have a talk. And what he did that day was, girls, it's a scary kind of a thing. Judgment came down that day. He said, I've been hearing what you've been saying about my servant Moses, my servant. I put him in charge of you too. And he said, it's wrong. You're not supposed to be in control here. I'm in control, and I chose him. And that day, Miriam looked down at her hands, and her brothers looked on as she broke out in an incurable disease called leprosy. Her skin turned white, and all of a sudden she had an incurable disease. And except for the fact that her little brother Moses pled on her behalf before God and said, oh, Lord, don't do this to my sister. I love her. Heal her. She probably would have died. But she was spared, and her life was spared. But girls, the last thing written just about Miriam in the whole Bible was this terrible day in her life when she was an irritating woman, okay? There's only one other reference to Miriam in the Bible, and that's that she died and she was buried, okay? The last incident we read about her was this irritating woman day that she had. Girls, I don't want that to be what other people remember about me. Do you? We don't want that. On our worst days, sometimes we can turn into that, and it is a dangerous thing. Well, this woman, Miriam, this irritating woman did not work for her. There was a woman you also studied, and it was one of David's wives, and her name was Michal. And on the best day in David's life, basically as king, he was bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, okay? He was bringing it back into Jerusalem, into the capital city, and they were having a big party, and David was leading the celebration, and he was dancing, and he was singing, and it was a great day in Israel's history. It was one of the best days of his whole life. I mean, it was great. But guess who didn't go to the party? Guess who stayed home and sulked and pouted and was an irritating woman? David's wife, Michal, M-I-C-H-A-L. Michal was a woman who he had married, and her father was King Saul, who David had used to work for him. He was the previous king that God had become very displeased with and who had died, really taking his own life. So when she's home while David and them are out celebrating, and it says she looks out her window, and she sees David, and she sees all these people down there, and it says that when she saw David celebrating and praising God, she despised him in her heart. Girls, that's where the irritating woman begins. She starts right here thinking thoughts, oh, look at him. She said, look at him. He's making a big fool out of himself. And that night, have you ever been so high and so happy? And then you go someplace, and you run into somebody, and all of a sudden they just like pour a big old giant bucket of cold water on you. And all of a sudden, all that joy you had is just absolutely gone. That's what happened to David that night. He went home, and there was Michal, and it says she came down to meet him. Girl, she had a bone to pick with him. She was mad at him. We don't know why. I think she had a lot of bitterness in her life from her past. I think she had sort of some issues she was dealing with. But she came down, and she took him on, and she said, "You made a big old giant fool out of yourself today." And she lit into him, and he took it for a while, and then he said, "That's it. I'm done. I'm done." And girls, the last thing written about Michal is in the book of 2 Samuel. I want you to turn there with me. Look what the Bible says about her in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 23. You see that? And it says, "And Michal, the daughter of Saul," this is David's wife, "had no child to the day of her death." Girls, I believe when David told her that day, "I'm done with you. I'm out of here," he never slept with her again. I don't know if he ever even spoke to her again. But basically that woman who had it all, she died, a woman who had not even had a child. She died alone. She died alone. And isn't that what we saw in Proverbs? This irritating woman says it's better to be alone than to have to deal with a woman like this. Girls, this is a woman you don't want to become. That irritating woman didn't work for Michal. Well, let me ask you this. What will work? And we're going to look at some things that will work. But let me just tell you something. Sometimes we, as women, we get into this irritating woman behavior because we're jealous. I think that's what Miriam was going through when she began to tear down Moses. I don't know if Michal was jealous. I don't know what all her issues was. But listen, I can relate to this. I can think back when I was in high school, and I was a junior or a senior in high school. And I was going to have a party at my house for all of my friends, a New Year's Eve party, okay? I invited all my friends, guys and girls, except for one girl. And I intentionally did not want her to come. She was a part of our group, but I didn't invite her. And you know why? Because I was jealous of her. I knew if she came to that party, she would be the it girl. She would be the center of attention. This was a girl who, when she entered a room, I'm telling you, every guy went on her. She was the kind of girl who just people flocked around, and I didn't like her. And the reason I didn't like her was because I was jealous of her. I wouldn't have admitted that back then, but that's what it was. I didn't want her to steal my party. I didn't want her to be the focus of attention. I wanted to be the center of attention, so I didn't invite her. Everybody else received their invitations, but not my friend Angie. And I'll tell you what, my mother even said, "Laurie, I can't believe you're not inviting her. Laurie, are you sure? I don't think this is a good decision." She tried to talk me out of it. I said, "No, I don't want her to come. I don't want her to come." So I didn't invite her. She never said anything to me about it. We had the party. People were talking about me, and people came up to me. Some of my friends, they said, "Did you send her an invitation? Because, you know, she says you didn't send..." No, girls, it made me look bad with my friends, I think. I think they thought, "Well, we kind of been thinking you were one of those mean girls all along, maybe." Maybe that's what they thought. I don't know. But I was showing myself to be a mean girl. Years went by. Angie was very hurt, I'm sure. We didn't have very much to do with each other for the rest of our high school years. But on our 10th anniversary from graduating from high school, we had a 10-year reunion. And at that 10-year reunion, about 2 or 3 months before that happened, Bill and I were planning on going. Bill and I graduated from the same high school, my husband and I. And the Lord began to bring a face to my mind 2 or 3 months before I was going to that reunion. And guess whose face that was? It was Angie. It was Angie. Her face kept coming to my mind, and the Lord began to really convict me. And I for what I had done to her and for how jealous and mean I'd been. And I thought, oh, that was a long time ago. I'm different now. And I thought, oh, she's probably over that. I mean, it's 10 years have gone by. How could she? And I just didn't want to have to, I just kept putting that kind of off, thinking, dismissing it, that it wasn't that big of a deal, that she wouldn't even remember. And I was thinking, I was really dreading seeing her if she would come. And sure enough, we went to the 10-year reunion, and about an hour into that reunion, the doors opened to the hotel ballroom where we were, and in came Angie. And when she came in, girls, all eyes looked, because this is the kind of girl she was. Everybody, "Angie, Angie." It was just, you know, everybody was just kind of looking at her. And she came in, and I was thinking, okay, what's going to happen here? She probably won't even remember. She probably won't even say anything. And girls, she walked in, and she got about from where you are to me, and she said, "Well, there's Laurie, the girl who didn't invite me to her New Year's Eve party." You know what? She had never forgotten. And then big old tears started welling up in her eyes. And I knew Girls, I saw the hurt that I had caused 10 years before that was still there. It was still there, and it broke me. And I grabbed her, and I said, Angie, and I said publicly, I apologized to her in front of all our friends. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she began to cry, and I began to cry. So we went over into a corner together, and we just boo-hooed together. And I said, I was so jealous of you. I was so jealous, but I can't believe I just kept thinking that you would have forgotten it by now. And she said, no, I still haven't forgotten it. And then she did something very gracious for me that I never expected anybody to do. She said, I forgive you. I forgive you. But she also said this, I forgive you, but my mother never will. And I just thought, well, I don't blame her mother. As a mother, that would be really, really hard. But girls, I just want you to know, listen, this irritating woman, she doesn't work and she hurts people. She hurts people. You don't want to scar and harm people like that. And every single one of us have been a victim of an irritating woman, haven't we? We know how that feels, and you wouldn't want to pass that on to her. Girls, a biblically beautiful woman is not a woman who is an irritating woman. So what will work for you? You need something. You want something. Maybe you see something that's unjust, and you think something needs to be settled. What do? How do you get what you want? How do you get what you need without being an old nag and an irritating woman? Well, you do what that cool group of girls did that you studied this week, and I hope I'm pronouncing their name right. They were called the Daughters of Zelophehad, okay? And you studied them. This was a group of girls whose daddy died. And when he died, they were not able, girls back then couldn't inherit their daddy's property, okay? They could not own property or inherit it. And they had no brothers either. And so that property was going to be split up among some of their other relatives. And these girls were out of it. You know, they weren't going to have anything. And, you know, they could have begun feeling pretty sorry for themselves, don't you think? They could have thought, this is not right. Women should not be treated like this, you know? They could have just absolutely begun talking, and this was, of course, when Moses was still in charge. They could have organized, you know, rallies and just begun to gossip and all kinds of. They could have gotten really, really mean, couldn't they? I might have gotten really, really mean. But you know what they did instead? They talked about it among themselves, those sisters, those daughters, and they went and they approached Moses. They went to the man who had the authority, okay? And here's what they did, and this is what really will work for you. And the example of the daughter of Zelophehad is this. A, they took their problem to those in authority. They went straight to the authorities, okay? They didn't start talking with other people. They didn't start pouting. They went straight to those in authority. And when they got there, they stated their case simply and factually with respect, okay? They said, here's what's happened, Moses. Our daddy died. We have no brothers. Now we have no land. We have no inheritance. What's going to become of us? Okay, they didn't say, do you realize how bad we have it? They didn't go up and make a big deal. They just said, here's the problem. We need you to help us with this. They just stated it simply, factually, and with respect. Next, they offered a simple and a fair solution. They said, give us an inheritance. Do this for us. Give us an inheritance. This would be the right thing. This is the solution. They asked and they offered a simple, fair solution. And then D, girls, they left it, the decision. They entrusted the decision and the results to the authorities. They entrusted the results to the authorities. They didn't threaten, if you don't do this for us, we're going to do this, okay? They just said, here's our problem. Here's what we think you could do to fix it, but we leave it up to you. You're the ones in authority. And then what happened? Girls, a great thing happened. And the results were they received what they needed, and they helped others too. They were able to help others. The decision that was made was going to help other girls whose fathers died and were left in the same position they were. Moses made a law. He said, from here on out, if a man dies and he doesn't have any sons, then his daughters will get the inheritance. That's going to benefit generations and generations of girls to come. So it was a wonderful thing. They handled it well, and it worked for them. There's an example, too, in the Bible of a gal named Achsa, and it's A-C-S-A-H, Achsa. And Achsa was a girl who was the daughter of Caleb. And she was a girl who was young, and her father needed some help. He had some land. There were a lot of bad people living on this land. A lot of the enemies of his people were living there. And he had received that land, and he needed help to drive out the enemy there on this property that he owned. And so he said this, if somebody will help me drive these people off this land that I own, then I will give that man my beautiful daughter, Achsa, as his wife. Now listen, she must not have been an irritating woman. because somebody took him up on his offer, okay? Nobody would probably want to go fight the enemy unless this girl was really a prize. And so she was no irritating woman, because a guy named Othniel, he came along and he went and he absolutely drove out the enemy and he took her as his wife. And you can read about her in the Bible, and it's a true story. Most of the daddies back then would give land to a son-in-law, okay? When the man would take his daughter, he would give her away in marriage. He would usually give her away with a dowry, okay, with a piece of land or with some livestock, things like that, to help her get her family and her home started. And that's probably what Caleb did for Aksa. But the problem was the land he gave her did not have any water, no springs, no water to irrigate, and no water to raise cattle and things like that. And so Aksa had a problem with this land. And girl, she could have gone back to her daddy and said, "How in the world could you give me a piece of property as worthless as what you gave me? Do you realize there's not one stream? There's not one well? There's nothing." I mean, she could have done that, but she didn't do that. It says in the Bible this, that she first spoke to her husband and she said, "We got a problem. You think we could talk to daddy about it?" Okay? She went to him because he was her authority now. He was her husband. But before her husband could even talk to her daddy, Caleb, she went before her daddy. She was going for a visit. She was either going for a visit or she was fixing to leave to go back to her husband's family. We don't know. But she says that she saw her daddy and she was riding on a donkey. And it says she got off that donkey. And girls back then, when a girl got off a donkey and there was someone there, okay, or got off a camel or whatever it was, okay, if you saw somebody standing there that was an authority over you or that you respected, you would get off and you would bow before them, okay? And here's Caleb, and he sees his beautiful daughter, Aksa. And she's riding this camel, and he's either saying goodbye to her or he's saying hello. We don't know, okay? But she gets off that camel, and she bows before her daddy. How do you think that made that daddy feel when he saw his beautiful daughter do that for him? Girls, I'm telling you what it does for a mother and what it does for a daddy when they see their daughter respecting and loving them. That makes you want to do anything in the world for them. And do you know what her daddy did when she did that? He said, "Oh, baby, do you need anything? Is there anything that you need? I would just love to do something for you," okay? She didn't even have to ask for other land. She didn't even have to ask for streams. She didn't even have to state her case. Girls, when you behave like that, people just want to do for you. They just want to do for you. And she said, "Well, Daddy, we do have a problem. That land you gave us, great land, but no water. We need some streams. We need something else." So he said, "Honey, I'm not just going to give you land with one stream. I'm going to give you land with two streams, with streams on the top of your land and on the bottom of your land." And that's what he did. Girls, that kind of woman, that will work for you. The other thing that will work for you is this: learning how to speak fluent 3B. And you studied that in your homework. We're going to close with that because it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that you learn how to speak words that are not crabby and complaining and nagging and irritating or mean and bossy and critical. Because 3C is what these women had that didn't work for them. They were crabby, they were complaining, and they were contentious. But girls, 3B words are words that build, bless, and benefit. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, it says this: "Don't use foul or abusive language," okay? No profanity. "Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." When you study those verses and you study the words in those verses, what that means is every word you say should either build somebody up, should be a blessing to them, and it should benefit them, okay? Those words that come out of your mouth, girls, that's God's standard, okay? And that is how you can keep from being an irritating woman. When you need something, you use words that build, bless, and benefit. Girls, that irritating woman didn't work for Miriam, didn't work for Michael, didn't work for me, hurt my reputation at school, hurt another girl for 10 years, and maybe her mother still is mad at me. I don't know. But girls, you don't have to be an irritating woman. What will work for you is if you'll follow the example of the daughters of Zelophehad, if you'll follow Aksa's example and be respectful to those in authority for you, and if you'll learn how to speak fluent 3B, words that build, bless, and benefit. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for just giving us such practical wisdom, Lord. There are going to be things that all of us are going to need for the rest of our lives. Lord, some of these girls are going to need a prom dress in the next few years. Some of these girls are going to need college and help with books and all kinds of things. And Lord, there's just so many things that we're going to face in our lives that are going to I want to just make us be set off and just handle things in a way, God, that'll make things worse instead of better. So, Lord, I pray that these girls and that, Father, even myself, oh, God, I pray that you would just help me, God, and help these girls not to go into that default that we have of just wanting to be an irritating woman and wanting to be in control, to manipulate and to do whatever possible to get what we want. But, Father, let us be the kind of women who will be edifying and encourage and will speak words that build, bless, and benefit. Oh, Lord, make us, and only you can do it, biblically beautiful, edifying, and encouraging women. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.